chapter 5, verses 7 through 14. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 7. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them, for it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, "Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are light and that you have called believers light. And Lord, now as we come to this text, by your Holy Spirit, give us understanding of this, that we might see the light of this truth, and that the light of this truth might shine upon us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, last time we began chapter 5, and in chapter 5, verse 1, we were instructed to be imitators of God. Now, throughout chapter 5, the imitating of God will come. We saw verses 1 through 7 last time, imitating God by walking in love. God is love, and we imitate God by walking in love. Today, we see that we imitate God by walking in light, verses 7 through 14. Next time we'll see that we imitate God by walking in wisdom. But walking in light is what we're looking at today. And God himself is light. There are many, many verses of Scripture that we could go to, and we're not going to go to them all this morning because we want to look at Ephesians. But many scriptures that tell us about the light of God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. Psalm 27, Verse 1. By the way, did you hear Rita playing that this morning? Psalm 27, verse 1. Maybe some of you didn't know that's what it was. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? The Lord is my light. My light. John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus again spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, light in relationship to God has two primary considerations. One of them is moral, and the other one is mental. The moral consideration is in God there is no darkness, there's no evil, there's no sin. We could call it the holiness of God. God is light. The mental consideration is that God shines light that gives understanding, that illuminates us. And so the light of God is truth that illuminates. And we'll be seeing those considerations. There are more, but those are two foundational ones. So with this in mind, we're going to look in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 7 through 14, at six practical features of living in light. Now, the first feature is the contrast. And if you look at verse 8, you can see it pretty clearly. You were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Here's the contrast. What we were before we were saved, what we were, this is the way we were born. We were darkness. Formerly darkness. Please notice, it does not say we were dark. And it doesn't even say we were darkened. Though those are true. It says we were darkness. That is the condition, that is the identity of every unsaved person. Darkness. Moral, spiritual, intellectual darkness. You were formerly darkness. Now that's what it says. That was described for us here in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, as we'll see, that is Satan, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that's now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Children of wrath. Under Satan, in darkness. We saw it in chapter 4, verses 17 through 20. The futility of their mind. Darkened in their understanding. Excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, hardness of their heart, callous, having given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. That is what we were like before we were saved. Yes, that's even true if you're 2 years old, or 3 years old, or 4 years. Say, well, but they're just young children. Yeah, but they were born this way. They were born darkness. That is what we were. Under Satan, who is called in Luke 22:53, the power of darkness. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Christ rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. We were in the domain of darkness. We were headed for outer darkness. Matthew chapter 8, verse 12, which is what Jesus called the lake of fire, outer darkness. Unsaved people are headed for eternal death, eternal separation from God, from other people, from everything, including eternal separation from light. The lake of fire is fire that gives off no light. It's outer darkness. The lake of fire is eternal aloneness. Now, you say, oh, how terrible. Well, it is terrible. But realize this is what unsaved people want. Oh, yeah, it is. Jesus said so. John chapter 3. Jesus said, this is judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light, does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. Unsaved people love darkness. They love it. That's what they are. They love it. And who said this? Jesus did. Jesus said, unsaved people love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. And light exposes evil. Light exposes darkness. You do know darkness cannot continue when there's light. Can't. So, eternal darkness, aloneness, separated from God and everybody, that's what unsaved people love. Why? Because they want to be left alone, because they do not want to be exposed. They think they're happy just the way they are. They don't want to be exposed. So keep the light away from me. I prefer darkness. Do you know what eternal punishment is? Eternal punishment is God giving unsaved people what they want. It is. It is. That's what we were. That's what we were. You know, you lift up a rock, and if there are bugs and creeper crawlers under there, and you lift up the rock, and they are exposed to the daylight, what do the bugs do? They scamper, don't they? They're trying to get away from the light. That's what we were. Trying to get away from the light. Now, what are we? That's what we were. What are we now? Ephesians 5:8, now you are light in the Lord. Now, if you're not saved, you're still darkness. But if you're saved, you're not darkness anymore. You are light. You are light in the Lord. You have been, back to Colossians chapter 1, you have been qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Why? Colossians 1:13, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. What we are now is light. Why? Jesus rescued us from darkness, the domain of darkness. And Jesus has, through his blood on the cross, redeemed and forgiven those who believe, forgiven them of being darkness, and making them light, transferring them into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of Jesus. Notice in Ephesians 5:8, it does not say, now you have light. Though that's true. It says, now you are light in the Lord. It's not that I just have the light, which I do. You do as a believer. It's not just that I've seen the light of the gospel and therefore have truth and understanding, which I do. But it's true that I am light. I am light. If you're a believer, you are light. Add this to, I hope, the list that you've been continuing to make all throughout the book of Ephesians of who you are and what you have in Jesus. All the way back to chapter 1, you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are chosen. You are predestined. You are adopted. You are redeemed. You are forgiven. You have an inheritance. You have riches in Christ. You have your eyes of understanding, the eyes of your heart opened. All of that's true. You are the body of Christ. You are loved. I mean, we could go on, couldn't we? Just go back and reread the book. It's who you are in Christ. Well, here's another one. You are light. You are light. You are moral, spiritual light. And you are truth light. That's who you are as a believer. Second practical feature, verse 9, the characteristics, Paul calls it the fruit of the light. These characteristics are goodness, righteousness, and truth. Goodness is moral goodness in relationship to other people, before others. And goodness is also the fruit of the Spirit. Righteousness is righteousness before God. That is justification. You have been justified, and the righteousness of Jesus is now credited to you. And truth is in relationship to yourself, that is your personal integrity. Truth. This is the light in relation to others, to God, and to yourself. Feature number three. There are commands. There's a positive command, the end of verse 8. Walk as children of light. You are light, therefore, how should you live? As light. Walk as children of light. Why? That's who you are. Be who you are. Walk as children of light. The command stated negatively is the beginning of verse 11, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. Don't participate with them. As verse 7 said, do not be partakers with them. Participants in the deeds of darkness. That's not who you are. We could say it in light of the way Paul has been teaching us in Ephesians. We could say it this way. Put off the deeds of darkness. Put on walking as children of light. Be who you are. Feature number four in verse 10 is the confirmation of walking or living in light. The confirmation is trying or approving or testing out to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. So you could ask it this way. How can I confirm that I am on track as one living in light, walking in light? Well, here's a question. Do you have the desire to learn what is pleasing to the Lord? And will you do everything you can to check that out, to test it out? To learn what is pleasing to the Lord. In everything in life, what is pleasing to the Lord? If you have that desire, and by the way, how do you learn what is pleasing to the Lord? This is not hard. It's not a trick question. He tells you what is pleasing to him. Well, then how do I know what is pleasing to him? Read the only book he has ever written, the Bible. It's the only book God has ever written, the Bible. And in it, he's told you what pleases him. Do you want that? Do you desire that? Well, then you are on track for walking in light. If you say, no, I don't want that. I'm more interested in pleasing myself or pleasing other people, and I really don't care what pleases God, and I'm perfectly happy the way I am, and I don't want God to come in and mess up my life and do anything. Well, okay, but then you're darkness. So that's the confirmation. Feature number 5, verses 11 through 13, the commission. Now, the commission, and there are some that are bent to kind of like this. And if you're bent to kind of like this, I wish you wouldn't be. But here's the commission. Expose the unfruitful deeds of darkness. The end of verse 11. Instead, even expose them. Don't participate in them. Expose them. Expose the deeds of darkness? Oh, yeah. And there are people who go, oh, man, great. Now I get to spy on people. Now I get to check them out and catch them doing something bad and tell on them and report them and ruin their reputation and get them in trouble. That's not what this is talking about. Don't be bent that direction. This is not by just talking. Glance at verse 12. It is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. So don't speak of them. You don't expose the deeds of darkness by talking about them. That's not how you expose the deeds of darkness. Be very careful. It is disgraceful to talk about them. It's disgraceful not only that they did them, it's disgraceful that you were talking about them. Remember what we saw last time in verse 3? Immorality, impurity, greed must not even be named among you. You don't talk about these things. Say, but they're sinning. They're doing, okay. Well, then how do they get exposed? Remember, you are light. All you have to do is be around them. Just shine. Be around them. Christ-like character, your Christ-like character, your light will expose them. You know what? They won't even want to be around you. Why? Because your life exposes them and you don't even have to say anything to them about their sin. Okay. How else by shining the light of Christ-like character and by shining the light of the Word. Expose them. Verse 13, all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. They're exposed by the light. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. The Word of God is light. Psalm 119, verse 130. The unfolding of your words gives light. You want to talk about something? Don't talk about their sin. You know, the question of someone's salvation is not what are you going to do about your sin. That's not the question of the gospel. The question of the gospel is, what are you going to do with the Savior, Jesus? He took care of the sin on the cross. There's nothing you can do with your sin. Jesus took care of it. Unfold the words of light to people. That gives understanding to the simple. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is light. Reproofs for discipline are the way of life. Give the commands of God. Give the teaching of God, and that will bring reproof. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart, and there is no creature hidden from his sight. But all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The Word of God can judge the thoughts and intents of the heart, not me. Not you. The Word of God. Say, but I have strong opinions about their sin. Okay? Well, keep your opinions to yourself. Well, then what should I say? Open your Bible. Say, well, can I open it to all the verses that talk about their sin? Open it to wherever you want. But just make sure you're saying what God is saying. That's how light shines. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, the scripture is for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. Is the Bible sufficient to correct someone? It is. Say, well, but no, but I have to help the Bible out a little bit. No, the Bible is sufficient. If you think you need to help the Bible out, you have become a Pharisee, a legalist. Let the Word of God speak. Feature number 6, the call. Now, the call is in verse 14. Awake. Wake up. Now, the source of this statement, because the beginning of verse 14 says, for this reason it says. Now, when you read, for this reason it says, what do you think you're expecting? You're expecting somewhere, probably in the Old Testament, there's a verse that says this, right? For this reason it says. But here's the problem. There is not a verse in the Old Testament that says what verse 14 says. But do you know what there is? There is a whole list of verses that say similar, comparable things. Isaiah 26:19. Isaiah 51:17. Isaiah 52:1-2. Isaiah 60:1. You can see, and what's happened? Those verses from Isaiah have been taken, compiled together to form a hymn that was sung in the early church. So, for this reason, it says, the it that says this is a hymn, not an Old Testament Bible verse. But it's a hymn that was based on a number of Old Testament Bible verses. And the hymn says, awake, sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Now, the application of this is awakening. Awakening to personal salvation. Look, if you're still darkness, you're not saved, you're still dead in your trespasses and sins, this is a call to rise from the dead spiritually. Awaken spiritually to your personal salvation. In chapter 2, we've seen chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. This is because of his great love. Chapter 2, verse 5, when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved and raised us up with him, seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. You cannot be awakened to your salvation by your own works, by your own efforts. It is by God's grace, by God's grace. Let's say it this way. God has to raise you up. God has to wake you up. God has to raise you, spiritually speaking, from the dead. That's called being born again. You have to be born again, raised up, given new life in Christ. And when He gives it, you believe it. And that's how you affirm that it's yours. That's how you know you have received it. An awakening to personal salvation. This is the time for you not to say, hey, I'm okay the way I am. I'm happy the way I am, even though I'm still in darkness. I'm still darkness. I have no light of God. I have no desire for God. Okay. An awakening that comes from God. Have you heard it in the news? Being woke. It now means something different, doesn't it? We're not talking about being woke to social issues. We're talking about being woke, being awakened to God, to His Word, to His truth, to what Jesus did for you in His life and death and resurrection. Be awakened to that and believe. This statement is also an application to awakening from spiritual lethargy. And that can be also for those who are already saved. You're saved. You're light. You have life. But you're asleep at the switch, spiritually speaking. Just spiritually dull. Well, wake up. Remember Revelation chapter 3, verse 2? Wake up and strengthen the things that remain which were about to die. Wake up. And this is also applied by awakening in light of the soon day of Jesus coming for His church. Romans chapter 13. Do this, which actually in context is love one another. Do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now, salvation, and that is your glorification salvation at Jesus' return in the air for His church. For now, salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. Now, at the moment you believed, did you have salvation? Yes. Justification, salvation. But there is a moment coming when you will have glorification, salvation. And that moment is, do you hear what Paul says? It's already time. Awaken from sleep. This is nearer than when you believed. The night is almost gone. The day is near. Let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. See, Jesus is coming in the air to rapture believers, to rapture his church. How do you want to be at the moment Jesus returns? How do you want to be? Do you want to be participating in darkness? Do you want to be spiritually asleep? Wake up, Paul says. Say, well, aren't there a few more minutes left before the alarm goes off? No, the rapture alarm has already gone off. Wake up. It's time. Well, how much more time do I have? Maybe you have a second. Okay, maybe another one. Okay, maybe another one. Say, well, is that how I'm supposed to live in anticipation of Jesus' return? Yes. Wake up. Paul says it is any moment. It's time. What are we called to be? We are called to be light and to shine light. Proverbs 4:18. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. That's you. If you're saved, you're the righteous. And your path shines brighter and brighter and brighter every day until the day comes, full day, the rapture, your glorification. There will be a brilliant light at the rapture. Say, well, sure, that'll be the light of the glory of Christ. Well, it is. But do you know what it will be? It will be the light of glorified believers shining in the air. Yeah. Brighter and brighter until the full day. That's the call. Awaken, let your light shine, and Christ will shine on you. Your light is a reflected light from Him. Heavenly Father, I pray now that if there is anyone in our midst today or listening into this message that, Lord, does not know that they are saved, there's still darkness. Lord, by your Spirit now, let them know that you are at work. You are waking them up. You are calling them to salvation. Lord, let them discover in themselves what you are doing, and let them discover faith in themselves, that they find themselves believing that this is true. And when they believe, they trust that Jesus has died and has raised from the dead, and they trust him to give them this light, this salvation, this eternal life, they will know that they are saved. Lord, cause this church to be light, shiners of light all around us, whatever we're doing, wherever we're going. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn number